spouse of God. We've seen how blessed are the poor in spirit because they realize that they're powerless and their need for a holy God. We've sought to mourn the things that God mourns, and so come on, invite God to come alongside us and to comfort us and to use us to make a difference in our world. And today, we come with blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And before we go any further, would you join me in prayer? Let us pray. God, we've heard your holy word, and we ask you to speak through me and speak with great power. In Jesus' name, amen. A lot of people feel blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth, is almost a contradiction. Because you know when your companies or places of work, the meek get everything they want. You know this in the stores that those that are meek, waiting in line, how attentive everyone is to them. You notice in sports that the meek person gets all the spotlight. Now we see that we have a world that discounts meek. And part of that is that we have a wrong preconception of what it means to be meek. And we have to look at what it really means. I'm sure those of you who are in Sunday school again went over the fact that Moses was viewed as the meekest man in the Old Testament, meekest man of all the earth. That all he did was conquer Egypt, separate the seas, and lead the people to freedom. A meek man. Now, if we look at the Greek word paras for meek, we see it has three definitions that are used, one perhaps a little bit more than others. It's used as like a soothing medicine, the word. And it's like a medicine that gives us comfort in a sense that we're getting better. It's used of a gentle breeze. Now, I say gentle because if you've ever sailed, a gentle breeze can be just a nice strong wind that's carrying you along. A not gentle breeze is where you're hanging on for fear you'll fall off or that the boat will go into the sea, etc. But perhaps the most common definition or the most common usage of the word is for like a broken colt, a horse, or a trained horse who responds to its master. Someone once said that a great stallion at full gallop, a meek person is a great stallion at full gallop that will halt at the master's voice. So when a runner says halt or whoa, it stops. The meek person is the person that is submitted to God. William Booth would probably have called himself a meek person, but he was the founder of the Salvation Army. Now, many of you, when you think of the Salvation Army, you have preconceptions of somebody with a Santa Claus's brow or helping people. William Booth had a compassion for the hurting of his society. Probably as great as anyone of his time, he had this compassion for people that were hurting and in need. And he felt that he needed to bring them the gospel, and he needed to bring them every bit of help he could, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And he was a very powerful man, and he was so sought to be under the control of God that they called themselves, those that followed in his pathway, the Salvation Army, because there were people under discipline. said, the greatness of a person's power is the measure of his surrender. The greatness of a person's power is the measure of their surrender. The measure of our meekness is our capacity to surrender our wills to God. It's just to give ourselves to God. Martin Luther, from a different plane, he said that there is no room for God in him who is full of himself. So meekness is the surrendering of all our rights and pride of who we think we are to allow God to fill us. Philip Broken said, humility is offering no resistance to the dealings of the Lord with us. So it's that sense of seeking God's heart. And with a great Presbyterian preacher, he said that meekness that Jesus demonstrated was his ability to be God mastered. It becomes a key part of who we're seeking to be. Do we surrender ourselves to God and his will, or put God's will above ourselves? Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. And he was trying to show the people the power of surrendering to God. Now that surrender, meant for Jesus a cross. But he surrendered to God because he knew the power of God. And so God raises him from the dead. And the Son of Man, again, once again, becomes the Son of God in all his fullness. Someone said, when we stop trying to impress people with who we can be who we are. So often we're trying to impress people just who I am. And we said it before, but if someone offends you because they don't recognize who you are, the common expression is, do you know who you're talking to? And usually that means what's followed is not going to be nice. The meek person is impressed by whose they are. The meek people, those that are meek, want to be God's. And so they want God to just fill them. I was reading different quotes of Lauren McCall, who was famous actress, and a lot of the younger ones will remember her. Very pretty woman, etc. Quite an actress. But she was pretty streetwise. She said to someone, looking at yourself in a mirror isn't exactly studying life. And sometimes we look in the mirror and say, well, am I who I should be? I looked in the mirror, and as I was going to dress this morning, and I still came in. But the task in meekness is to look in God's mirror. As I look in the mirror of God, I see how poor and spirit I am, what's lacking. I mourn the signs of me that are far from God. And God brings a change, not as much as he should, but we begin as much as I should allow him. And it's the beginning. C.S. Lewis, who I love to read, he said, humility, but it could be meekness. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. That's right. you a little slower. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. It's that we shift the focus on what's my right and what I deserve. My sermon title is "The Meek Way is the High Way." And by the way, my way is the highway, but it's going in the wrong direction. The meek way is the highway because it is seeking God to control my steps. A.W. Joseph said, "The meek person is not a human mouse afflicted with a sense of his own inferiority. Rather, he may be in his mortal life as bold as a lion and as strong as Samson, but he has stopped being fooled about himself. He has stopped being fooled about himself. He has accepted God's estimate of his own life. He knows he is weak and helpless, as God declared to be, but paradoxically, he knows at the same time that he is in the sight of God of more importance than the angels. In himself nothing, in God everything." It's a realization that God has come in, and if I look in the mirror is a mirror of grace that says, from which God says, "I love you." If we are focused on seeking God's way, then there's a lot less problem when we don't get our way. Have you ever worked with someone who was just a little bit difficult if they didn't get their own way? Hopefully you're not the someone. But at times, all of us are the someone. And it's a reorientation from where we get our directions and our goals and our values. And we realize that God is coming alongside of us. But Paul is kind of funny in the Corinthians passage. He says, "Now some are puffed up." Less than meek person, maybe from Brooklyn, would translate puffed up as sort of like a fanatic. But that's not how Jesus would do it. He would describe puffed up as filled with our own self-importance. And that competes with God as Lord. It competes with us treating everyone as if they were God's children. It competes with us creating a hierarchy where my sins are more acceptable to God than your sins. It's realizing that we want everyone to come. In fact, in the scripture in Galatians, it says that we should take those that are far away and restore them with meekness. Of just coming alongside of them, not just saying how right you are, but how loved you are, and how much God welcomes you home. Quick lesson. Moses is described as the meekest person on earth. And he is the heroic figure of the Old Testament. It's interesting, Moses didn't enter the promised land. Do you remember why? That the people were so murmuring. That is the word murmuring. That the people were so saying, "We're in trouble, no one will help us, God won't help us, you led us astray." And we don't even have something to drink. And he went to God. And this is the meekness of God. He sought the strength to face his situation. So God gave him the answer. He said, "Here, take this So he has the solution to the hurt of his people. Do you ever have a solution to help someone who is in trouble? Did you? None. Did they always receive it warmly and lovingly? Did you ever try to help someone if you wanted to help? They're really so pleasant about it. So he goes to the people, he's got the solution in his hand. And they're on his case again. So God had said, just take the staff and hit the rock. But he got mad. And so he hit the rock twice so they wouldn't miss it. And then God said, why did you do that? Didn't you trust me to provide and even to get the people to follow you? You see, he got angry at the failures of others. He got anger over how others looked down on him, how others were mad at him. He might even have said a phrase that none of us would ever use. Why me, oh Lord? And that wasn't so bad that he felt that. But that instead of entrusting to God who provided the solution, he went a little extra so they'd know that he was powerful. And God said, why didn't you trust my power to make it work? And because of that, Moses didn't go into the promised land. Maybe just to show the people that the pathway to God is to follow his path, to seek his way, and to focus upon God and not ourselves. And the more we surrender to God, the more power God provides to us. I guess I'd share one more way of looking at it. Our Lord Jesus, who was said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek. Our Lord Jesus, who was very shortly going to be betrayed by one of his own. Lord Jesus, who said, into my hands I commend my spirit. Our Lord Jesus, who said to God, you know, it'd be nice if we didn't have to go through this. But he said, nevertheless. What did he say? Nevertheless. Your will be done. He exhibited the power of meekness in his prayer. And he set up the last meal, which he never said. He set up secretly because he knew someone would betray him. And he didn't want it to hinder. And he took the meal, and they had the remember, even before that happened, he was washing the feet because the disciples would have been quite willing to wash his feet, just not the others. He's not just going to stop. And he washed their feet. And after they had given thanks, meekness is giving thanks to God for his presence, even in the midst of our turmoil, even in the midst of our pain, even in the midst of our loss. And after I'd given that kind of thanks, he broke the bread. that this is my body, which is broken for you. And we even tell them a zillion ways that they should say they're sorry. This is this. After all we've done for you, they just said, my body is broken for you. They remember that. And after the same matter, he took a cup. They said, this cup is the new covenant's promise. In my blood, which is shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. And as often as you eat this bread and drink this wine, remember him till he comes. This world and the next that I deserve this meal, other than in his love, he offers it to you and says, come, receive all of my love. And I don't care whether you're a member here or where. If you wish to receive his love,